I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. Chairman Mao's Little Red Book. It's thought to be one of the most printed works in world history. That's a measure of Mao's influence and power. China's current president, Xi Jinping, doesn't have his own Little Red Book yet, but Xi does have a smartphone app. To sort out what an app says about Xi's prestige, I spoke with Evan Osnos of The New Yorker. He wrote a profile of Xi Jinping for a recent issue of the magazine. I started by asking Osnos if he had downloaded the Chinese president's app.
I haven't yet, but I plan to. I think it'll be an interesting way into understanding what he's thinking about.
Yeah, and what does the app actually do, and what's the thinking behind it?
The app is a collection of his speeches and his writings, and there are some technical adaptations, things for like a map, for instance, that would allow you to see where he gave his speeches around the world. But the point is to try to elevate the things that he is saying onto the level of one of the great Chinese leaders. What they're saying is essentially, this is somebody who needs to be taken as seriously as we take Mao. But they can't quite say that so bluntly. I mean, Mao occupies a singular place in the Chinese political pantheon. And then there's Deng Xiaoping, who, of course, opened China up, bringing it into the world. But what they're now trying to do, when I say they, I mean the Communist Party, is to try to say Xi Jinping is the third significant leader to control this country since 1949.
Okay, so the messaging is different. I don't know about the propaganda. It's probably changed a little bit. What about the ideology between Xi Jinping and Mao? How different really is it?
Xi is just as much of a faithful communist, but he's confronted by this very modern moment when China's economy is trying to have another – they're trying to figure out how to have another 30 years of economic growth. And in order to come up with the sorts of technological innovations and to be as modern and connected as you need to be in 2015, you really can't use some of the old political principles that Mao believed in, which was, of course, to look inward, to protect yourself from outside influence. That's sort of the contradiction that Xi confronts, is that he needs to be, on the one hand, both faithful to his communist roots, and at the same time, he has to figure out a way to be as modern as China requires if it wants to be a successful power in this day and age.
I mean, in his mind, does he really believe that, with China producing all this stuff for the rest of the world?
He really does. This is the big – for me at least, was one of the discoveries. If you spend a lot of time reading the statements that he's made over the course of 30 years in politics, and you spend time with people who know him and have really heard him talk about his view of the world, you come to the remarkable conclusion that he believes fundamentally that the Communist Party is the future for China. And you know, in some ways, maybe that shouldn't surprise us. This is the system that produced him. This is the system that he grew up in. You know, his father was a great Communist Party hero. He had been a commander during the revolution. And so everything Xi Jinping has seen and been exposed to in his life tells him that the Communist Party and its form of politics is the future.
Would China have kind of opted for any other type of leader? Somebody other than Xi Jinping, somebody who would be way more avant-garde in their policymaking?
It's very hard to imagine a scenario of a real path-breaking figure coming to the top of the system. For one thing, it means that the stability and the prosperity that China has struggled very hard to create, that all of a sudden becomes jeopardized. And then also, after all, they do look at the rest of the world and they say, we're not convinced that the Western democratic system that has been tried in places like the former Soviet Union would work for us. So it's very hard for somebody to get to the top of the Communist Party today without distinguishing himself on the basis of his fidelity to the past rather than on some radical conception of the future.
It's funny, Evan, as I read your article and watched this rise to power with the special schools that she attended and the paternal legacy of communism. I mean, it all may seem mysterious to Americans, but is a path to power in China any more roadmap than, say, Exeter Prep to Yale to Harvard Law for an American politician? I mean, what's the difference?
No, I was quite struck by that, actually. I mean, one of the things when you chart Xi Jinping's rise to power. He grew up, exactly as you said, in a fairly privileged environment in the capital in Beijing. His father was the senior government official. He went to these great schools. He then was sent down to the countryside to work in a village during the Cultural Revolution. But once that was over, he was back on track. He was once again at a great university in Beijing and continued to march his way up the ranks. And in some ways, oddly enough, you know, I didn't expect this going into this project, but the more I studied Xi Jinping's biography, the more it reminded me fundamentally of George W. Bush, which is a hard thing to say to Americans. That sounds polarizing, or it sounds like I'm trying to make a political statement. I'm not. What I'm saying is that he's the son of a very prominent political establishment family. He was born with opportunities that others didn't have, but he also, at certain point, key points along the path of his career, made choices in which he prevailed over his peers. One of the ironies, of course, is that both Americans and Chinese describe our systems as meritocracies. And on some level they are, and on some level they aren't. So these days, Xi Jinping is described in the propaganda that is produced by the party, he's described as a symbol of meritocracy. I suppose on one level he is, in the sense that he was one of thousands of cadres who were vying for senior leadership positions, and he did make it to the top. But, you know, it was once said about George W. Bush that it was said about his father that he was born on third base. And in some sense, Xi Jinping was born with great advantages, and then he took advantage of whatever opportunities his pedigree presented him with, and he emerged at the top.
Evan Osnos with The New Yorker. His article on Xi Jinping is called Born Red. Evan, great to speak with you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.